Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out again here today. Excited for this show that I've got for you. Hey, as a quick reminder, check out our website, MoneyRipples.com. You might find blogs from 5,000 years ago, but they're on there. So check it out. Also, quick shout out to our sponsors, American Homeowners Preservation. If you want to make a great amount of money with as little as $100, making great cash flow each and every month, check this company out, and they make a great difference in people's lives too. So check out their website. It's www.funding, that's F-U-N-D-I-N-G, A-H-P.com. So on my show today, I wanted to bring on somebody who I've had a business crush on for years. And actually, this is probably the first time she's hearing this, so that's kind of interesting too. So not to create any awkwardness at all. but this is a woman that actually I knew by reputation first. This is somebody I never even got to meet until really years later. But I remember hearing about her over 10 years ago when I started breaking out of the traditional financial advisor role. You know, when I started breaking out of that. And the first thing I always heard from people were they say, hey, this is the woman that did rich dad, poor dad's insurance policy, his whole life insurance policy. This is the one that did Kiyosaki's policy. And I was like, whoa, she's got to be awesome. In fact, she's even co-written books with Robert Kiyosaki. If you've ever seen him out there, her name is Kim Butler. She's the financial advisor, but she's also author and founder of Partners for Prosperity and has a huge passion, just like me. I mean, really a lot of things that she teaches are often aligned with what I talk to you about on the show, which is she's out of the box. She's not the typical financial planning type person. She really looks to be anti-Wall Street, you know, how to create wealth without Wall Street. It's a big mission that she has for her clients. And so today I'm absolutely honored to bring her on. So Kim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Chris. It is a joy. And not only have I never heard about your business crush, but I've never even heard the term business crush. And I love it. That's a great term. So thank you. I'm honored.
Well, tell us a little bit about your backstory. How'd you take this route? What led you to this path in the first place?
Absolutely. So started my entrepreneurial life in fourth grade when my dad got me a milk cow. Yes, really a dairy cow. And I milked the cow and sold the milk. And I had a lot of money as a kid because I was always selling milk and having all the other cows being sold. And it was just a whole 4-H project that had its own legs. And then right after college, I got involved in banking and I helped people in the old structure of a bank, before investments were involved, mm-hmm. loans, that kind of thing. And then I really wanted to help people more broadly with their money. And so I got involved in what's called financial planning today. And I was doing what you and I call typical financial planning. And I love separating out typical financial planning, like the College of Financial Planning out of Denver. This stuff has only been around since the 60s or the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then to separate out that from what we do today, which I call traditional work, because what you and I work on today has been around a couple hundred years. So I spent 5 years doing typical financial planning, asking people how much they needed when they retired, asking people what age they wanted to retire, asking people what they wanted to have happen when they died, all the typical financial questions. And of course, this is before the internet, so nobody had the internet to use for doing, quote, a financial plan. Because us financial planners, we had special software that would put in your retirement age and figure out all this stuff. Ugh, give me a break. And yet, I had a very nice practice. However, after about 4 or 5 years, with every quote financial plan that I handed somebody, I got a bigger and bigger pit in my stomach because I knew what a joke these things were. I mean, I'd be in the back room fussing with inflation rates and interest rates. Oh, I can't show them that. It looks horrible. And, you know, if you have any decent sense of appropriateness or, you know, whatever level-headedness about being honest and forthright with people, you're not going to do that very long. So I just took a break and I did a bunch of research and I just went back to all my entrepreneurial clients. And this is probably the mid-90s. And I started saying, you know, how did you get here? How did you build wealth? Well, none of them built their wealth in their 401k plan or their mutual funds. It was all real estate and businesses. And of course, you know, some involvement in whole life insurance and other entrepreneurial endeavors and private lending and bridge loans and oil and gas and their own businesses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, well, clearly there's got to be a better way. And so through a whole host of events, meeting the person who's now my husband, Todd Langford, and of Truth Concepts fame for people that are in the know in terms of financial software, because you do still need some software to figure out if what you're doing is right.
Right.
You know, in time, the Kiyosakis, although that came later, and just some other circumstances, I found a community of people that were working with basic economic principles. And these resonated with me. I knew immediately that, yes, this is right. This is what we should be helping people with. Let's get the principles straight, and then we can figure out which products we should be buying and which strategies we should be using.
Exactly. And that's one thing I've noticed is very backwards, right? Is that every financial advisor in the traditional industry, they're going to be saying, hey, here's the magic bullet. Here's the product to use. Here's the strategy to use. But they're never usually based in principle. There's usually no principle backing up. It's usually just gambling. It's like the old crap of like high risk creates high return. It's like, how did a 90% chance of losing equate to a 90% chance of winning? And things like that, that just don't make sense. They just don't make common sense. And I had a kind of similar experience to you too, where I started asking people that were millionaires, like, hey, well, what do you think of this stuff? And they would laugh. They would laugh at the typical financial education that was out there. They would do the opposite. And that's where you notice like, oh, well, that's why the people I got as a traditional planner, like that had decades of advice, still weren't doing well. But the ones that rejected financial advice were doing much, much better. They were millionaires.
Absolutely. And it's amazing when you look at what they do, how much sense it makes. I mean, it's just immediately with most people, immediate resonance of like, oh my gosh, I kind of knew that. I just didn't know how to put words around it.
Exactly. Well, tell us some about those principles, because I think that's so important, because I always tell people it's principles first, strategy second. What are some of the pillars or the principles that you teach that are so essential?
Well, we have 7 of them, and I didn't create them. Like I said, they're basic economic principles. You can trace them back to literally the beginning of time and when human beings started to deal with trade and money and whatnot. And so I think I'm going to hit the bottom two because they're the most fun. However, as we all know, there's a reason that principles are in order. And so 1 through 5 are really critical as well. But just in the interest of time, and of course, you can put a link in your show notes to somebody's ability to get the rest of them. The 7th principle is the concept of multiplying money. And what it means is that you need to get $1 to do lots of different things. It needs to have a multiplier effect. And this exists in our economy very obviously. I pay you, you pay somebody else pays some other company or person for a product or a service, and money gets multiplied by then the 6th principle, which is its movement. So the movement of money creates a multiplier effect, and when money is multiplying, it's moving. So you could say that 6 and 7 could be even interchanged in terms of being 7 and 6. And this is basic economic theory. We all know this. We see it every day in our marketplace, but we don't do it personally. personally, we sit our money in a 401k or an IRA or a whatever product. So products are things that you buy. And then we don't apply strategy. So strategy are things that you do, because it's not a product that makes money move and multiply, the sixth and seventh principle.
Right.
It's the strategy, the do part. But somehow in our personal finance, we don't learn the strategies that get money to multiply. We don't know how to apply the act or the action of getting dollars to move and then multiply, even though the basic economic principles of moving the money are at the account level. And if we have time, I'll give a quick example on that. Is now good?
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes principles can be a little esoteric and people are like, yeah, that sounds cool. I have no clue what she's talking about. So let's just take a simple savings account. So you have a savings account. Everybody has one, money market, whatever. And I realize right now they're not earning any interest, but let's pretend that it's normal economics environments. And we've got 4 or 5% interest on our savings account. What are we doing with the interest? Well, most people just reinvest it, but that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do, the more efficient thing to do, the thing that's going to get you better results, is to check the other box on the form. And the other box is don't reinvest. It's send me the interest every month. Mm-hmm. And so if I take that interest and I, for example, buy a liability umbrella. Okay. So a lot of people don't even know what a liability umbrella is, but it's something that you buy from your car and home insurance agent or on the web. And it is very protection oriented, primarily against lawsuits and whatnot on your own personal environment. That's a example of money moving. So we moved money from the savings account to an insurance company to buy the liability umbrella, which now has a multiplier effect of getting $1 to do not only the job of the savings account, but also the job of buying the liability umbrella. And it also does the job of slightly reducing our tax, because if we're not compounding interest, then we're not paying more tax on a higher amount because the account is not compounding. So that's a really quick, simple example of principle number six, move, and principle number seven, multiply.
Perfect. Now, some people would say like, okay, well, how's the liability insurance actually do something? You know, like, can you explain that a little bit more? Because I know that's a essential part of how, that's really like how protection leads to production, right?
Absolutely. So when the liability and umbrella insurance is in place, you have additional protection beyond your normal car and home insurance for a liability that might occur. And in today's very litigious society, if somebody slips on your tile floor or, causes some issue with your car or whatever that would cause harm, the liability umbrella is going to protect you from them suing you. And that protects your assets. And when you are more protected, you are able to be freer in your thought and able to produce more, to use your words. And that is super, super valuable and something that we often don't think about. And yet we can all ask a car and home insurance agent for examples of where somebody's liability umbrella absolutely protected their assets in a very big way. And so that's a benefit. So in this example, the jobs, like we like to count jobs, like savings accounts, one job, tax benefits, another job. The liability umbrella is a third benefit. And so it's not actually more money, but it's a benefit with money, which is equally valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a huge point. Cause I remember, when I first was taught this concept, it blew my mind because it created that permission slip to spend money differently, right? To use money or even protect the money you already have that you're trying to grow. And I remember, an example I had from about 5 years ago, in fact, it was exactly 5 years ago because it shows up on my Facebook memories recently. I remember my daughter, so I had paid into health insurance premiums, back in the old insurance days, right? The traditional stuff. I was paying health insurance premiums about $410 a month. And I remember thinking like, oh, this is such a waste of money because I go to the doctor, once every 5 years, maybe take the kids in a couple times a year at most. And we still have to pay out of pocket anyways, right? So what's the whole purpose? And, and I remember all of a sudden, she was only 10 months old at the time. All of a sudden she ended up having this horrible, cough. She couldn't breathe well. And so we did everything possible. We used every naturopathic thing we could. We used like oils. We, you know, we took her to different things, even did chiropractic. And even by that point, he said, you know, I'll just take her to a doctor. Something's wrong. And so we did, found out she had RSV. And then I ended up having a, you know, life flighter to the hospital where she stayed in the children's hospital for 4 days. And I remember seeing the bills come through. The bills were over $50,000 total. You know, we only had to come out of pocket a few grand. But I remember thinking, man, like this $400, $410 a waste, that's like $5,000 a year. But then I did the calculation. I said, wait, if I had to do this all out of pocket, that would have been, that's 10 years of premiums that just got used up with one of my six. Now I even have eight kids, right? So I was like, realized like, man, like that leverage I created, almost like when people borrow money from their house to then go and invest and create more money with it. It's the same thing when you're buying insurance or protection, like you're creating that leverage.
Wow. Great example. Yeah.
So tell me, yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. What are some of those other principles you teach?
Well, it's fun because they first start with mindset. So to go back to the top, everybody's talking about mindset these days, but it used to be something that you kind of talked about in a quiet corner because you didn't want to get an eye roll or what have you. And I'm so grateful that it's become a more normal conversation because the first principle is think, and it's thinking from a prosperous mindset. And when I wrote these principles down, and again, I want to reiterate, I didn't come up with them, that, you know, they've been in existence forever. But when I first wrote them down, I just, and they're all one word. I just, you know, thinking, first of all, like turning your brain on, that's important. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget that. But thinking from a prosperous mindset is so important, and it's so hard to do, especially consistently. And it's not that you're going to do it forever and like never think scarcity, because of course I still think scarcity. Sometimes every day I have to deal with scarcity thinking.
That's right.
But when I'm aware of it, or I should say, and when I'm aware of it, I can then switch my thinking, or I can literally say, wait a minute, I shouldn't be making this decision right now because I'm thinking from a scarcity mindset. I'll tell you a funny story. I was running an event and we talked about complaintfreeworld.org, and complaintfreeworld.org, I won't get into that, had these awesome purple plastic bracelets. You know, this is when the first Lance Armstrong yellow bracelets came out. And this event was done on a shoestring and we had no extra money. And there were maybe 30 people there, and somebody suggested like, oh my gosh, you should get everyone those purple bracelets. Those things are so cool. And I said immediately, no, I don't have the money. I can't think about getting the money. I mean, we're talking, it probably would have been $100. I don't know, but
yeah,
I was so stuck in scarcity thinking around this event that I couldn't even see the value of taking that little step. And that was a really big missed opportunity because it really would have gotten a physical deliverable in an event that had a lot of esoteric non-physical things. And, you know, there just would have been a lot of good there for it. And I should not have made that decision at that time, because literally the very next day I may have been more in a prosperous mindset. So what I've learned to do is just check myself. Okay, I have a decision in front of me. Am I thinking from a position of prosperity or abundance, or am I thinking from a position of fear or scarcity? And if I am stuck in fear or scarcity mode, stop and don't make the decision and do whatever I need to do. Go outside and do jumping jacks, pet the dog, you know, whatever it is. Get on the phone and provide value. Get out of scarcity mode. And so over time, I've learned to get out of scarcity mode very quickly. And yet sometimes it takes a couple days. And so that's fine. But if you can learn to identify it in yourself, it really helps a lot. And thinking from a prosperous mindset is the most valuable thing that you can do for yourself, for your family, for your businesses, for all the decisions that you're making.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, I think even today people will give eye rolls to that sometimes.
I would agree.
You know, because they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Just think happy thoughts and I'll fly like Peter Pan. Right. that's kind of like the, because a lot of times you do see people that, you know, they try to say things like fake it till you make it.
Right.
You know, just think positive thoughts, and then they see their lives suck, you know? And obviously it's deeper than that. It's not just, okay, yeah, just think good, positive thoughts. There's a real science to it, isn't there?
Absolutely. So I have another word for your listeners that I think will be valuable, because you brought up fake it till you make it. And there actually is some science behind that being effective. And I have a way better word, because especially in today's world, nobody wants to be fake. Like, being transparent is super important. And so I like to use the words act as if. And you could say, ah, it's just semantics. It's the same thing. Yeah, you could say that. But I think words are extremely important. And it is very, very valuable to sometimes act as if I know that we're going to find a solution to this problem. Act as if I'm positive that this will be a good event. Act as if I know we're going to get past this hurdle or whatever it is.
Act as if this business idea is going to work, right?
Right, right. Because there's so much good in that. One of my favorite author speakers is Sean Acor, and his current book out, Big Possibilities. I don't know if you know of him, but that's a fabulous researcher in the science of happiness. He talks a lot about act as if. His book is great. His TED Talks are great. I'm sure he's got a podcast somewhere. And I encourage people to add that to your list of resources, because there is absolute science now behind a positive, happy, can-do attitude and what it does to your brain and your ability to make good decisions.
Actually, I think I have heard of him. Just as of this morning, I had somebody, a client of mine, send me a email link with the TED Talk that he gave, right?
Oh, how fun. Oh, you'll love it.
That's great. Awesome. I know we're kind of getting short on time here. You know, and there's, again, there's so many of these principles that are good. And I want to emphasize again that these principles have been true from the beginning of time. I mean, that's the things that fads and trends, they're temporary, they'll come and go, but this is something that's long-term. This is the stuff that I know I've applied in my own life that truly worked. So Kim, if they want to get more information on that, how would they find it?
The seven principles of prosperity are inside our Prosperity Accelerator Pack, which is available to anybody on the web, and it's partners number 4, prosperity.com. And inside the pack are a whole bunch of goodies, but one of those things is a printout on a single piece of paper, the seven principles. And like all good principles, they apply to everything. So they're, of course, designed to be used for money, but they apply to your life. They apply to how you handle your health. They apply to relationships. They're super cool to use. And I've heard clients say that they've got them, you know, on the bulletin board in their office or on the fridge at home or what have you, to continue to remind them of how widely applicable they are. And of course, when they are that way, then we learn them even better.
Oh, I love it. And also you have your own show too, right?
Yes, we have the Prosperity Podcast, and it's on iTunes. And of course, there's a link on the website to it as well. And I think we have 250 episodes, which somebody just told me the other day. I think that's wonderful. I love the podcast space. I heard that podcasts are for forward thinkers and radio is for backward thinkers.
I love that.
Me too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, everybody check that out. Check out her podcast, but definitely go to Partners for Prosperity. It's the number 4, prosperity.com, and definitely get that pack. It's you got it. That's awesome. So, well, cool. Well, you know, I appreciate your time today, Kim. Like, any final words or thoughts you'd like to give our audience today?
Yes. Begin with gratitude. That's the ticket to thinking from an abundance or prosperous mindset and being grateful. And of course, Chris, thank you so much for our time today. I've loved it. Anytime you're struggling, begin with gratitude. And probably even more importantly, when things are going well, make sure you're grateful. Make sure you're expressing gratitude, whether you're doing that, you know, with a quick email or a handwritten note or whatever it takes. All the really amazing entrepreneurs in our space today are purposely identifying how much and how important it is that they are grateful for their teams and their families and the people that enable them to do the things that they're doing. And that's something we all want to be a part of.
That's right. Whatever you appreciate, appreciates and grows and keeps going, right?
Yep. There you go.
Love it. Well, Kim, thank you so much today. It's been an honor having you on our show. And for us, you listeners, thank you for joining us as well today. You know, the key is how do you first change how you think, and then second, act accordingly. So I challenge you this week to go and do exactly as Kim asked. Go check out our show. Go check out our website. And everybody have a great, prosperous week. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.